Hi, folks. Doug McBurney here. Keeping Bob Enyart live on the radio is a labor of love that demands our attention every now and then. And now is that time, and he needs your help to stay on the radio for another year. Bob's presence on the mighty 50,000-watt KLT in Denver gives him the ability to promote godly ideas on the terrestrial airwaves. I'm asking you to call right now or go online to purchase any or all of Bob's eye-opening Christian resources available in written, audio, or video formats. Call 1-800-8-ENYART right now or go to kgov.com and come alongside Bob's vital ministry and keep Bob broadcasting for another year. That's 1-800-8-ENYART or go to kgov.com, kgov.com right now to give Bob the essential support that only you can offer.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
And welcome to Real Science Radio. I am Greg Jackson, filling in for Bob Enyart and Fred Williams. For those of you who haven't heard me, sometimes I fill in for Bob and co-host a show with him on Bob Enyart Live here in Denver. I am the author of a couple books, Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies, and We Won't Get Fooled Again. I'm a former radio show host on KDAR in Los Angeles and also WRKO in Boston. And also, you can go to my website if you want to, at Greg Jackson, greg.jackson.com, and my email is greg.jackson@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Well, the Bible says in Psalm 40, verse 4, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." Well, this aptly describes my guest for the next half hour, Mr. Ken Ham, who is the preeminent biblical apologist and creationist, arguably, in the world today. Ken is the president, CEO, and founder of Answers in Genesis. Many of you I know this ministry very, very well. And also of the highly acclaimed Creation Museum in Cincinnati, Ohio, which I understand over 2 million people have visited since its inception. He's the author of many books. One that I recently have read is called The Lie, Evolution in Millions of Years, which I highly recommend. And he also writes for Answers Magazine, which I subscribe to. And there's a great section in there for kids. And also, they have a phenomenal Sunday school curriculum that I've used for the past 6 years teaching Sunday school. Their website is answersingenesis.org. Ken Ham, welcome to Real Science Radio.
Hey, hi, Greg. It's great to be with you.
Great to be with you. Now, listen, Ken, you will be debating world-renowned atheist tomorrow, Bill Nye, the science guy, at the Creation Museum, that I understand sold out in less than 2 minutes. Is that correct, 2 minutes?
Well, when we announced the debate between myself and Bill Nye that he had agreed to a debate here at the Creation Museum, and we have an auditorium here that seats just over 900 people, and so when we actually put up the ticket sales for that, for people to buy their seat to come to the debate, they sold out in like 2 minutes. That's right, two minutes. And we have no idea who actually bought them. We've seen a lot of atheist Bill Nye supporters on the internet that said that they've got tickets. So I expect it's going to be people who are supporters for Bill Nye and people who support Answers in Genesis. It's going to be an interesting mix of people.
Well, I think it's pretty amazing, given the fact that I just read a couple days ago that there's still 18,000 unsold tickets for the Super Bowl. So if there's more avid interest in this debate than the Super Bowl, I think there's still hope for America. So,
well, I said, certainly I'm interested, but it would have been interesting to know how many people would have got tickets if we'd had a major auditorium or, you know, arena or something like that. But, you know, we want to do it here anyway because it's going to be videoed and it's going to be live streamed, and there are potentially millions of people who can watch the live streaming in their homes, or, you know, churches are actually getting groups together. There's atheists that are even getting groups together to watch it through live streaming. So we're going to reach a lot of people anyway.
Yeah, get your Jiffy Pop ready. It's going to be something else tomorrow night. And I believe, Ken, really, that this debate is really the biggest showdown between two competing worldviews of its kind since the Scopes monkey trial. I mean, I believe it's that monumental. My question for you is, how did this debate come about, first of all, and what is this debate really about in general?
Well, you know, Greg, first of all, you know, when you talk about the Scopes monkey trial, it's interesting to note that in the media and, you know, in the internet, some people are calling this Scopes 2, and I think, oh dear, they see it as that strategic. And, you know, it really has become a media buzz across the nation. I mean, all the major secular media have been talking to us, and most of them are really being represented here at the debate, even from other parts of the world as well. But why did it actually take off the way it has and it's become viral through the internet? And, you know, we go back to 2012. You know, Bill Nye is, of course, very well known for his PBS programs, Bill Nye the Science Guy, and a lot of people brought up on him. And, you know, he would make science exciting when he talked about it. Of course, he would often drop in millions of years in evolution, too. But in 2012, he came out with a video that went viral. And the video was him talking against people believing in creation. In fact, it's known as a video that says creation is inappropriate for children. And of course, he was coming against those who would teach, as we teach, that God created us and that the account of Genesis is literally true. And he was talking about the fact that you have to believe in evolution and billions of years. And in that video and other videos since, he has made the statement, if you teach kids creation, it'll undermine the economy of the U.S. because if they don't believe in evolution, they're not going to be innovative, they're not going to be able to invent technology. And he talks about smoke detectors and aspirin and antibiotics, and so it goes on. And because of what he did, I came out with a video on the internet in answer to what he said, and then we had a couple of other scientists do that as well. And an Associated Press reporter was talking to me here, interviewing me over my video, and our chief communications officer, Mark Lowy, was talking to him as well and said to him, hey, why don't you ask Bill Nye if he'd be prepared to debate us, seeing as he's come out and made these public statements. And Bill Nye's sort of become now a spokesperson for pushing evolution on children and on the culture as a whole. And so the Associated Press reporter went back to Bill Nye and said, would you be prepared to debate Ken Ham at Answers in Genesis? And he said yes. So then the reporter came back and said, well, he's prepared to debate, so are you. So we actually contacted Bill Nye's group, and over a period of about 12 months with a bit of back and forward, he then said, yes, I'll agree to debate. And so that agreement was reached, and just after Christmas, we then announced it. And I must admit, we didn't expect the response would be so big. I mean, it has become like a media sensation, and it has gone viral on the internet, and it's almost like two football teams or two baseball teams meeting at a stadium, and you got the fans for one side and the fans for the other, and they're going to have their tailgating parties and all the rest of it and getting ready for this interesting battle. And so that's really how it came about. And I think one of the reasons it's become so viral, I mean, Bill Nye is such a personality, is so well known, and he's a communicator. And then, you know, you've got Answers in Genesis, the Creation Museum, and so we're so well known for standing up for literal Genesis, and my name's very synonymous with that. And of course, you know, the Creation Museum had incredible press when it was opened in 2007, media from all around the world. And so, in a sense, you're bringing these two together. That represents, and I agree with what you're saying, it really has become seen as a showdown, in a sense, between secular humanism and Christianity. And that's why people are calling it Scopes 2, the debate of the decade, and so it goes on, which places enormous responsibility on me in that sense, because the whole world, in a sense, the Christian and non-Christian world, are sort of watching this and seeing what will happen. So it's a very interesting time as we prepare for this.
Well, I think that there's probably no more important debate, because you talked about, you know, you really woke me up to this a few years back, Ken, which is, by the way, Greg Jackson filling in for Bob Enyart and Fred Williams here at Real Science Radio. If you've just tuned in, we are interviewing Ken Ham, who is the president, CEO, and founder of Answers in Genesis. Upcoming debate tomorrow, he will be debating Bill Nye, the Science Guy, at the Creation Museum in Cincinnati, Ohio. Now, to me, Ken, I didn't recognize how vitally important Genesis was in terms of having a biblical worldview and in terms of understanding the rest of the scriptures in toto. In fact, I thought that it was maybe at one point in my walk, I'm a Jewish believer, came to faith in 2001 when I was saved, that it wasn't that important. People could differ on 6 days, for example. Is it literal 24-hour days and other issues in regards to Genesis in general? But what I found out is that it's much more important, and it's actually not an inconsequential nugatory issue. It's vital. Why is Genesis and having a proper interpretation and understanding of the first book of the Bible so vital for Christians?
Well, let me first say this, Greg. When we read the Bible, it does not say, and I'll emphasize the not, it does not say, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe your heart God has raised him from the dead and believe in 6 literal days and a young earth, you'll be saved.
True.
Right? It does not say that. Salvation is conditioned upon faith in Christ, not what one believes about the age of the earth or the 6 days of creation. I say that because there's a false idea out there. You see it on the internet, and there are a number of people that misrepresent our position in saying that we claim that if you don't believe in 6 literal days and a young earth, you can't be a Christian, when we do not say that. So I want to make sure that people understand that right from the beginning. However, it is an important issue, as you say, because it's an authority issue and it's a gospel issue. What do I mean by authority issue and a gospel issue? How do we decide what's right and wrong, what's good and what's bad, what morality we should have, what should we believe about marriage, or how should we approach the topic of abortion, or whatever it is? Well, as Christians, we have an absolute authority, the Word of God. We don't decide right and wrong for ourselves, because otherwise everyone could decide whatever they want. It's like the book of Judges. When they had no king to tell them what to do, they did what was right in their own eyes. Well, we have a king. We have an absolute authority. It's God, and he has given us his word. And so, first of all, we must make sure we understand that if this is the word of God, and it's a revelation from him to us, he used different people to write what he wants for us, we should take it as written and let it speak to us, and not us impose our ideas on the Bible. And that's where it gets important. See, if I said to somebody who's a Christian, you believe Jesus Christ bodily rose from the dead? Absolutely. Well, how do you know? You weren't there, didn't see it happen. How do you ultimately know he rose from the dead? Well, I'd expect them to say, well, because the Bible says that. Very obvious. We take it as written. Okay, and you believe in the virgin birth? Yes. Well, how do you know that? You weren't there. You didn't talk to Mary. You didn't see the angel. Yes, but this is God's word. Now, wait a minute. Richard Dawkins doesn't believe in a resurrection or virgin birth. Shouldn't we take what he says and reinterpret the resurrection, reinterpret the virgin birth? Oh, no, you can't do that. This is the word of God. And if you went through Scripture and you said to the average churchgoer out there, I'd call our conservative evangelistic churches, you believe Jesus miraculously fed thousands of people? Yes. How do you know? The Bible says. You agree they crossed the Jordan River and the Red Sea as miracles? Yes. How do you know? The Bible says. You believe a man was swallowed by a fish and lived in a fish for 3 days and went and preached to a city? Yes. How do you know? The Bible says. But when you go to Genesis and you say, do you believe God created in 6 days, man from dust, woman from his side, death came after sin? Here's what you hear today in a lot of churches, a lot of Christian leaders. Well, no, you can't take that as written. Why not? Well, because of evolution. Well, because of millions of years. And they're taking what Richard Dawkins believes about evolution of millions of years, if you like, and they're saying we've got to reinterpret Genesis, but we won't take what he says about the virgin birth and reinterpret this over here. Therein lies the problem. I suggest here that what's happened is generations of people in our churches have been influenced to believe in millions of years, evolutionary ideas, go to the Bible, reinterpret the days, reinterpret the account, tell kids, look, it doesn't matter how God created, as long as you believe he created, but trust in Jesus that he died on the cross for you. And the point I'm making is you've unlocked the door to those kids. You've said to them, you can believe what the world teaches and reinterpret God's clear word. That creates doubt that can lead to unbelief. And when you go back to Genesis 3, did God really say? That was the temptation. It was really an attack on the word of God. And Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11:3 that Satan's going to use the same method on us as he did on Eve. And that method was to get us to doubt the word of God. So this is an authority issue. If we don't take Genesis as written and we're reinterpreting it, we're undermining the authority of the word of God. It mightn't affect our salvation, but it does affect how others who we influence, like our children, view Scripture, and it could affect their salvation in the sense that if they no longer believe the Bible can be trusted, they won't listen to the gospel. And then the other thing to remember is every doctrine of theology ultimately is founded in Genesis. Why do we believe marriage is a man and a woman? Look what Jesus said in Matthew 19, asked about marriage. Haven't you read the authority of the word? He made them male and female. And he said, you become one flesh. He was quoting it from Genesis 1, male and female, Genesis 2, where God took Eve out of Adam, gives us the details there, and you become one because you're one flesh, because they were one flesh. The whole gospel is founded in Genesis, that man sinned. There was a real rebellion, the first man. We're descendants of Adam. That's why we're sinners. That death is the penalty for sin. See, if you believe in millions of years, the millions of years idea came from the belief that fossils were laid down millions of years before man, but the fossil record is a record of death and bloodshed and disease and suffering and animals eating each other. If there was death and bloodshed millions of years before Adam sinned, then why does the Bible say without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin? The life of the flesh is in the blood. The first blood sacrifice when God killed animals and gave coats of skins to Adam and Eve. If you've got the shedding of blood millions of years before then, it makes nonsense of the atonement. And if God's responsible for all the death and suffering in the world, and he says that's very good because when he made Adam and Eve, he said now everything is very good. The world was already full of death and bloodshed and disease and suffering. He says that's very good. Then God's responsible for the mess of this world. But the Bible makes it clear our sin is responsible. So you see, that's why Genesis is so very important.
Absolutely. And we're Greg Jackson filling in for Bob Enyart and Fred Williams here at Real Science Radio, speaking with Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis. He's got a very, very important debate. Some people are calling it the Scopes Monkey Trial 2 with Bill Nye, the science guy, tomorrow at the Creation Museum. And we're going to give information at the end of the show how you can tune. Oh, what the heck? What's the best way to tune into the debate? Let's give this out a few times.
Well,
how can people
we
watch?
We have a special website set up. It's very easy, debatelive.org, debatelive.org. And they can go there and they'll get all the information about live streaming. If you want to do a group live streaming, you can do that. There are churches that are doing that. But debatelive.org, how to find out about watching the debate live.
And that's Tuesday, February 4th. What time?
It's at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the USA.
Okay, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, Kent, I'm sure you've seen it. The Evolution vs. God video that your friend Ray Comfort put up on the internet, I think has 1.2 million views. Have you seen that video?
Oh, yes. In fact, we've heavily promoted that video. We sell it here at Answers in Genesis, and we have helped promote it in a big way. I'd love to see every young person in our school see that video.
Wow, that would be something. For me, the most effective part of that video is that Ray does such an effective job at forcing these evolutionists to defend their own beliefs. He turns the tables on them, which is, I believe, a very effective debate technique, and one in which I think you will probably be incorporating as well, because it's really telling to see the bewildered look on many of these guys' faces when Ray Comfort is essentially turning the tables on them, isn't it? And forcing them to defend the indefensible. I mean, I just rode by a beautiful building here in Denver on the way here, and I just thought for a moment, if I said to somebody that I believe that this building just came out of nowhere and built itself due to invisible natural processes, people would probably admit me to an insane asylum. And yet that's exactly what guys like Bill Nye believe, that our entire universe just came out of nowhere, directed by nothing. And so what is the most effective way to debate somebody in this type of format to advance the type of belief system or worldview that you endeavor to advance?
Greg, there's a couple of things. And first of all, let me just say, you know, in regard to that DVD, Ray Comfort, as you say, did a great job. And the DVD, in a way, is very encouraging and it's discouraging. And what do I mean by that? It's discouraging to see all these young people who've just been so indoctrinated in evolution and their professors. You know what's encouraging? It should be encouraging to the Christian to realize something. Most of those young people believe in evolution because they were taught it, because it was in a textbook, but they have no idea how to actually defend their position. And I say it's encouraging for this reason. If people today would only get informed and get the information they need, because the answers are out there, and like Answers in Genesis, that's why we call ourselves Answers in Genesis. We have answers. There are answers to the questions that people ask. Christians can go out there and show we can defend our faith. We can actually give the information, to give the answers, to show that it confirms over and over again the Word of God. We can defend our faith. It's not Christianity that's a blind faith. It's the secularists that have a blind faith because they can't defend their faith because the evidence does not confirm what they're saying. And really, that's one of the things that we need to go out there and show. See, I find that a lot of the evolutionists, what they do is they speak in general terms, and they will say creationism is not true and that's not science. They just make all these statements, right? They falsely represent science. They falsely represent the word evolution. They misrepresent it in many, many different ways. They make all sorts of general statements, but they need to get specific. Defend your faith. And one of the things that I would do in a debate like this, now, debate format is very difficult because you've got opening statements, then you have a short time to make your case. In fact, in this instance, about 5-minute opening statements, then 30-minute to present the case, then 2 5-minute rebuttals. You have to work hard. You've got to know what you're going to say, but you're right. You've got to ask the right questions of your opponent. You've got to show that we can give concrete evidences and so on that confirm what the Bible's saying, what your faith is, and show that it doesn't support the faith of those who don't believe in God. They have a faith, they have a religion. It's an anti-God religion, but it's a religion, the religion of naturalism. The other thing is, you've got to teach people how to think correctly. And I think one of the big issues here is this. There's a big difference between using your 5 senses in the present to obtain knowledge to build technology and talking about origins, which is the past. And that is one of the problems we've got in our school system, public schools, and through the internet. People who oppose what we believe in regard to the creation, flood, Tower of Babel account are mixing together their belief about evolution and the observational science of investigating the world that builds technology. You've got to be able to separate those out. For instance, in the public schools, they use the word evolution for speciation. Mm-hmm. You know, you get different species of finches, that's evolution. Well, it's evolution in the sense that evolution means change. But then they use the word evolution for molecules to man. And so they say, evolution is true. We see evolution change. Therefore, evolution, molecules to man, is too. So it's a bait and switch of using a word to
very deceptive.
One thing.
Very deceptive, right?
Very deceptive. They do the same with science. They use the word science when talking about origins. Then they use the word science when talking about technology. Mm. And so they say, because science, technology, works and we see it working, therefore science, evolution, molecules to man, is true. And so students are all confused, and it is deceptive.
We're speaking with Ken Ham. Big debate tomorrow night. You can go to debatelive.org to see Ken Ham debate Bill Nye, the science guy. You're not going to want to miss it. You can tune in Tuesday, February 4th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Two last questions for you. Number one, Ken, what do you really hope? What's the end game here? Best case scenario, what do you hope to accomplish at the end of this debate?
Greg, that's a very good question. I'm glad you asked it, actually. You know, I've had people say to me, well, do you think you're going to win or lose the debate? Or who do you think is going to win or lose? And I see people on the internet, atheists and others, talking about who might win, who might lose. To me, it is not a matter of winning or losing. And I don't think there's such a thing in a debate like this as winning or losing. I look on it as that I have to present the best case I can to answer the question in regard to the debate and defend my position. Bill Nye has to do the same. But I think one of the best things that can come out of this debate, and it's already happening, and that is this, overcoming the censorship in the culture that has stopped many people hearing the truth about creation, being able to critically analyze the issue of origins, to critically look at the whole creation evolution issue. You see, already I see people talking about the Bible, people talking about Christianity. I've had Christians tell me that we're finding that our friends at work have heard about the debate and they know I'm a Christian, so they're asking me questions. And people are already witnessing to people about this. So it's already creating a conversation out there that people are having and ability to discuss this issue. Because in the public schools, by and large, students are censored from even hearing about creation or even critically looking at evolution. The religion of evolution is being imposed dogmatically upon them. So I think that that's one of the greatest things that could happen. And I pray that out of the debate, it'll cause more people to be talking about this issue, taking the Bible seriously, looking at the Bible, actually going and checking out some of the things that are said. Because the bottom line is, in what I do, I want to honor God's word, and I want people to understand, I'm telling you, the history in the Bible is true. That's why the gospel based in the history is true. See, I don't want people just to be converted to be creationists. We want to see them converted in salvation. We want to see them converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the ultimate aim of all this. So it's to get people to start to listen to the Bible, at least listen to what God's word is saying. Take it seriously. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, and then it's God that saves them. So if the debate can do that, I think it's accomplished a lot.
Well, you're doing what you're called to do as a Christian, Ken, which is to plant the seeds. Look, we're not called to water and give sunlight and We're not God, but we are called to share the good news. And that's the whole thing to me is the foundational basis for the gospel. Like you said, it's an authority issue. It's a gospel issue. And if people have a proper understanding of where Genesis and the Genesis literal account in the Bible fits into all this, I think it will only enhance believers' faith. And then for skeptics or non-believers, hopefully it'll at least cause them to question the bigger questions in life. And the most important question to me is, where are you going to spend eternity? That's the most important question that we could ever answer. And I think that's what your debate is hopefully going to accomplish.
And you know, Greg, I sort of look on it like this, like Jesus coming to the tomb of Lazarus. He said to people, you move the stone away. Now, Jesus could have done that, one word. But what they couldn't do was raise the dead. It's Jesus who said, Lazarus, come forth. So my job is to roll that stone away. I'm going to do the best I can to roll that stone away, point people to the word that raises the dead.
So funny you mentioned that, because that was my devotional today, last chapter of Matthew. And that was the angel of the Lord who rolled that stone away. It was a miraculous thing. And I'm just going to pray, even right now for you, Ken Ham, that supernaturally there will be a moving of hearts, that the word and the truth will go forth, and that tomorrow night people will be more encouraged, will be more strengthened, will be more emboldened in their faith to share the gospel in the last of the last days, which I believe we're living in, and also that those who are skeptical or non-believers, even Bill Nye himself, that the Lord would convict his heart unto the truth. And I just want to encourage you to keep on. I mean, there's a lot we couldn't even get to, the ARC Project. Real quickly, can you just give our listeners just 30 seconds on the ARC Project, where you guys are at and what you hope to accomplish with that?
Our next big project after the Croatian Museum here, and of course we continue to expand that, but is to build a full-size, life-size, full-size Noah's Ark out of wood, just like the description in the Bible, with walk-through exhibits as a witness to the world that as Noah and his family had to go through a doorway, we need to go through a doorway to be saved. We've got 800 acres right on Interstate 75, 40 minutes from the Croatian Museum. Mm. We've got engineering plans done. We've got most of the permits in hand. We've got the architectural diagrams done. We're still in the fundraising stage, but that's getting closer. And when we break ground, we hope within a couple of years we'll be able to open that up and be one of the greatest witnessing places for the gospel that anyone's ever seen. In fact, 2 million people a year are expected to come from the surveys that we've done.
Well, a couple of them will be from Denver, Colorado. I'm going to bring my 8-year-old, I promise. Ken, I just want to thank you. Ken Ham has been our guest here, Real Science Radio. Greg Jackson filling in for Bob Enyart and Fred Williams. And Ken Ham's website, answersingenesis.org. Also, tune in tomorrow night to hear him debate Bill Nye at debatelive.org, Tuesday, February 4th. And I want to just say, go to answersingenesis.org. The best book you will read this year is called The Lie, Evolution in Millions of Years. Ken, I bought 20 copies, and I handed them out to virtually every Christian leader and teacher at my son's school that I know, and the response has been overwhelming. So, Ken, I'm going to leave you with this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his perfect shalom. Thank you, Ken Ham.
About